First scripture reading for today comes from Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. That is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Here the author reminds us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. As a result, we can look to Jesus, who is the pioneer of our faith, and encourages us to pass that faith down to others. Let's read. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Here ends the first scripture reading.
So if you're following along in the 90-day challenge, and I hope you are, we're more than halfway through, and for the first time yesterday, you would have noted that all that was put on the blog was more to come tomorrow. No head nod. So the one or two of you who was following along every day, you will have noticed that. And part of the reason was yesterday was just a great, great day. I spent the entire day at Swarthmore, and at halftime of the last game of the season against our arch rivals, Haverford, they recognized the 1990-91 basketball team, of which I was a senior and on the team, because we had the most wins ever in the history of Swarthmore. So there were 10 out of the 13 players from California, Texas, who all showed up, and it was a great day, really great day. And then afterwards, we went out to Philadelphia, and there were a couple things that just kind of resonated. The first was we couldn't believe that it was 25 years. 25 years had passed since 1991 when some of us were seniors. And the second thing we also noted was wasn't it ironic that this season's team we won 17 games, and that had continued to be the record until this year, where this year's team won 19 games, and they're going to make it to the postseason. And it was exciting for us to see how over the generation, but over the years, that has been able to be passed down, that people continue to, and players continue to be excited about the season and what goes on. See, I try to tie it in as well as I could. The event yesterday to today, I'm not sure it's working, but I'll keep going. Let's look at Genesis, shall we? It was nice last week, at least, to get away from the struggle between Esau and Jacob and just look at Isaac and try to figure out, well, how do we live in this world and yet not be conformed to the world? How did Isaac maintain his faith and yet not fold under the pressure that the world puts upon him? And how do we do the same thing without kind of compromising our beliefs and our faith? In our faith as we make our way through life as well. Today we find Isaac a few years later, who is now blind, and his emphasis is no longer in trying to maintain the faith for himself, but rather, how do I pass my faith down to the next generation? How do I pass this blessing on, a blessing that God bestowed upon my father Abraham, which then my father Abraham bestowed upon me? If you remember last week, that was part of it. Isaac received the blessing of Abraham from the Lord. So how do I pass that on and from generation to the next generation, so that those who come after me can live in the same promises that I have lived in? You remember the Olympics in Atlanta in 1996. There's one image from those Olympics that has been blazed upon my mind, and it's not the bombing that took place, But it was that picture of Muhammad Ali, who was frail and feeble and could hardly walk. I don't know if you remember that image. This person who in his prime was like Michael Jordan, you know, the person who was known throughout not only the United States but throughout the world as someone who was the foremost athlete of his day, and now age had taken its toll. And I remember as he goes up to light the flame, we were missionaries in Italy, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was there watching it by myself, and tears were just streaming down my cheek because I was hoping he wouldn't fall, first of all. But there was also that sense of passing on that torch, that flame, from generation to generation. Today what we're going to see is, in Genesis chapter 27, the faith and the blessing of God that are passed down from one generation to the next, in spite of our human attempts at times to force God's hand and to step out of the will of God. Nevertheless, that promise is still passed on, sometimes in spite of us, right? But let's go ahead and read and see how God's blessing is passed on. So we're in Genesis chapter 27. The long reading, verses 1 through 29. So hang in there. Get comfortable. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called his elder son Esau and said to him, "My son," and Esau answered, "Here I am." And Isaac said, "See, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. So now then, take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And then prepare for me savory food such as I like, and bring it to me to eat so that I may bless you before I die." So now Rebekah, Isaac's wife, was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. And so when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me game and prepare for me savory food to eat, and I may bless you, so that I may bless you before the Lord before I die.' So therefore, my son, obey my word as I command you. Go to the flock and get 2 choice kids so that I may prepare for them savory food for your father just as he likes. And then you shall take it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to his mother Rebekah, "Look, my brother Esau, he's a hairy man. I'm a man of smooth skin. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother, well, she had an answer and said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my words and go get them for me." So he went. And he got them, and he brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared savory food, such as his father loved. And then Rebekah took the best garment of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob, and she put the skins of the kids on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck, and then she handed the savory food and the bread that she had prepared to her son Jacob. So Jacob went into his father. And he said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game so that you may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went up to his father just as planned, Isaac, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He didn't recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." He said, "Bring it to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him. And he said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine, and that people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. This is the word of the Lord.
One of you is about to become our new Miss Universe. If for any reason she is unable to fulfill her duties, the first runner-up will take her place. Good luck to both of you. Miss Universe 2015 is... Okay, folks, I have to apologize. The first runner-up is Columbia. Miss Universe 2015 is Philippines.
I think you get the point, right? How many of you had seen that before? Had a number of you seen that before? The recognition that the wrong person gets the crown is something that every time I see that video, and the first time I saw it was in the Wednesday morning vision casting meeting, and you know, that is similar to what happens with Esau and Jacob. The wrong person gets the crown. Well, if you look at the story, and if you think about what happens, it's not that simple. The Esau and Jacob story is one where the highlight, the most important thing is that Isaac is trying to pass on this blessing from one generation to the next. And keep in mind that the blessing of the father passes on to the son is usually done at the bedside, and where the father asks for God to bless the son, and the blessing is then handed on from one generation down to the next. And the words of the blessing, as Isaac says to his son, look at what the blessing really is. It starts at verse 27 and 28, and well, actually 28 and 29, where you hear about the promise of the dew of heaven, this rain that will fall. Or there's also the promise of good crops, where you read about the fitness of the earth and grain and wine. And then it says that people will serve you. So a promise, again, of power. And this was the intention of Isaac, that he be able to pass on this most important blessing to his eldest son, Miss Columbia, right? Now, his eldest son, Esau, because that's the way things were done. Now, in fairness to Rebekah, she is the only one privy out of the four in this tangled family feud to God's statement back in chapter 25. Let's go back, if you will, in your Bibles to chapter 25, verses 22 through 23. And what you find in verse 22 is the children struggled together within her. This is when she's pregnant with Esau and Jacob. And she said to the Lord, if it is to be this way, why do I live? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided, and the one shall be stronger than the elder, and the elder shall serve the younger. God speaks to Rebekah. So she's the only one who knows that the elder shall serve the younger. So throughout this scripture, we don't know why God promises the job to Jacob, but he does. And his mother, Rebekah, is going to make sure that this promise is followed through. Now in this role, she transforms from nurturer to conniver and schemer, and she takes on the role of instigator and usurper. Remember, Jacob's name actually means the one who usurps. And she eavesdrops in on a conversation between father and son and decides, no, that's not the way that God had it planned, so I have to do something about it because, after all, my favorite son is about to be left out. And so then we begin to get a little bit of an insight into how determined Rebekah is when Jacob, when he's told of this plan, he objects. Do you notice that? It's not like he goes along right away with Rebekah's plan. He goes, Mom, you know, I don't think that's a really good idea. What if Dad, on that one day, is able to see somewhat clearly through his one eye and sees that it's not me, then I'm in big trouble. Jacob, don't worry about it. Whatever blessing or whatever curse he may put upon you, I'll take. Oh, okay, Mom. That's the dialogue, right? You know, that children's rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You've heard that, but it's simply not true. Words are the most powerful weapon we can possess. The wrong words can bring down a kingdom, and the right words can raise up empires. It is especially true in the Old Testament when you talk about a blessing of a father unto a son that's supposed to be carried on from generation to the generation. It was all in the words, and they meant everything. And what I don't want to have happen as we go through this scripture is that the conflict between Esau and Jacob blinds us to what Isaac ultimately hoped to achieve. It wasn't just to say some nice words, but it really was to carry on that promise to the next generation. His mission in this scripture is to pass on the words of promise that God had given to his father Abraham. He wanted then, not only were they then given to him, but he wanted then to pass it on to the next generation because he knew that had to be done from one generation to the next. What you find throughout are these exhortations in the Old Testament that teach your children well. Teach them about the laws. Bind them upon your foreheads. Read them aloud to the assembly so that each generation will be able to hear them and would be able to follow them. That's what we find in the Old Testament. And Rebekah, well, she plays the part in the story who almost ruins the whole generation passing on of the faith, some would say, right? She orders Jacob around just in order to trick his father. She's the one who dresses him up. She's the one who makes the food. She's the one who gives him the words to say. She's the one who encourages him to go ahead and do this. John Calvin states that she went beyond the limits of faith. But how often do we see that in Scripture? Where we feel like we just kind of have to make up for God's inadequacy. The Lord doesn't quite have everything in control because Esau is about to receive the blessing, and I know that Jacob is supposed to receive it, so I better jump in there and help God out. You remember Sarah. God promised that we're going to have children, and so the only way that's going to happen is if Abraham lies with Hagar. I better jump in there and help God out. Or Abraham, you know, my wife's a good-looking 90-year-old, so I better make sure that this promise is passed on, and I'm going to say that she's my sister. That way, we're safe. God doesn't quite have this situation under control. And like father, like son, Isaac does the same thing, by the way, with Rebecca. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and Rebecca does something similar here. The church, and I don't want us to let this scene and let Rebecca take us away from Isaac's primary mission as he understands the importance, which is to pass the blessing on, in spite of our trying to meddle with God's plans. And the church is the mother of us all, is responsible for passing on the blessing, the faith, from one generation to the next, even though we know that the church is filled with people like us. God's still able to do it, right? We are responsible to train leaders who will then pass that faith on. We are responsible to make sure that our youth know what we mean when we say that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. With Scout Sunday behind us and Preschool Sunday ahead of us, we find ourselves, today at least, in a place where we're given opportunities to make an impact upon this community as a whole. Found families who maybe, just maybe, this is the only place and the only time in their lives that they're able to see the generational promise lived out through us. And maybe, just maybe, next Sunday as they come, they'll say, you know, I want that for my family as well. I want to pass that on to my kids as well. So what kind of job are we doing here as a church? To pass on this faith, the blessing that was given to us by God. If we are the ones responsible for passing on the blessing, and we are. If we're the ones responsible for handing down the faith for one generation to the next, and we are. How are we doing? This past week at our session meeting, we were introduced to this concept called orange. And the statement was made that the family is the single most important influence on a child's life. That, by the way, is true. The family is the single most important influence on a child's life. And so the church's responsibility is to partner with the family. And so that the child is able to be influenced in a way that's positive. Because we know that not all family influences are what? Are positive. And so the church, along with the family, these two forces working together and working in tandem, side by side, is always going to be a much more powerful influence than two forces working separately. That's our responsibility as a church. How can we work with families so that faith is passed down from generation to generation, just like boy Isaac tries? So what are we doing? And I think this church has more opportunities than most for that to happen, with four adult Sunday school classes. A lot of churches may not even have one. Sunday school classes for every age group of kids and youth. A monthly midweek program where every child, youth, and adult is able to be taught. various women's Bible studies, prayer breakfasts, I hear they have. Is that right? An extraordinary youth group that continues to reach out into the community and beyond. We have opportunities here in this church to put our faith into action. Also with a wide variety of social ministries. So we are well-placed, well-equipped to do exactly what the Scripture says. So our mission is to pass on that blessing. When John Calvin wrote about this passage, he saw a direct link to the New Testament and how Isaac was so intent on passing on the faith. And he quoted one of our church fathers, Ambrose, and he said, "We in like manner hide under the precious purity of our firstborn brother Christ, so that we may be attested righteous before God's sight. That Isaac smelled the odor of the garments perhaps means that we are justified not by works, but by faith. Since the weakness of the flesh is a hindrance to works, but the brightness of faith, which merits the pardon of sins, overshadows the error of deeds. It is by faith and God's grace in Jesus Christ that we are made righteous. So like Isaac, let us pass this faith, which gives life to those that go after. Let's pass that. May God bless us and keep us as we look to do just that. Amen. Loving Lord, we do come before you now. And we ask you that you will watch over us and strengthen us and provide us with every tool that we could possibly ever need to be able to pass that faith down to the generations that come. And Lord, even though we may be perfectly placed and so well equipped, don't let us think that we are able to just wait for people to come to us. Lord, even though we have that blessing and we want to pass it on, God, help us to go to them. Help us to try to figure out, can we support families? That they would hear and not discount us. We pray this now in Jesus' loving name.